You're listening to Kingdom Concepts, Internet and Radio Broadcast Ministries. Praise God. You're listening to Kingdom Concepts. I'm Keith Fields. Thanks for tuning in. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would just increase us in love, increase us in wisdom. Heavenly Father, and guide us in. Keep us in your will, Lord God. Keep us from temptation and keep us from evil, Lord God. Keep us from harming and hurting each other, Lord. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. It's so important that we walk in love. Amen. Hallelujah. It's so important that we take care of each other. Amen. Not looking to condemn each other and not looking to make each other what we want others to be, but being able to accept each other and to let each other be what it is that God has created and called us to be. Hallelujah. Walking humbly before God and man, understanding that we only know in part and we only prophesy in part. Amen. But that which is perfect is coming. And when he comes, he'll do away with all that which is imperfect and all that which is in part. And we will see and we will understand some of these things. Amen. Let's realize what it is that God has called us to do. And let's be faithful to that. If we take up a cause, let's take up God's cause. Amen. If we judge, let us judge in a godly manner, according to what God said. Amen. You know, it's a very interesting point that some bring up. And they say, what did God say? They ask the question, how do you know what God said? They look at the Bible and the words in the Bible as mere words, as just something that's not far from well-written story. That is just something that some men wrote down, something that they came up in their minds with, or something that men wrote to control other men and to hold down women and other people in society. And so they feel that it's proper to throw some out and to take some up. That it's unreasonable to think that someone should try to live by every word that's in the Bible. You know, it's an interesting point that some people make, that the Old Testament was written in times past for people that are long gone, and it has no application or purpose in our lives now, because now the New Testament has come along and You know, and it's an idea that is prevalent and strong. It's interesting. But I'm not going to buy into that one myself. I am going to go with the Bible as the Word of God. And I am going to apply it to my life as the counsel of God. I am going to use it as if it's a letter written to me by God. And as a matter of fact, I've been doing that for many years, and it has helped me greatly in my life, and it hasn't let me down. The Word of God has been a comfort to me, the Old Testament and the New. It's been an education to me, the Old Testament and the New. And it has been a strong foundation for me while things were changing and failing all around me. The Old Testament and the New. I believe that when Jesus Christ said that he didn't come to do away with the law, but to fulfill the law, I believe it. And I believe that the law of God still stands, Old Testament and the New. I think that we have a choice. Each individual has a choice to make. And I believe that it's up to each individual. It's between them and God. And that I believe that each individual has a right to make that choice and to live how they want to live before God. And I believe that it is a question, it is something that everyone will have to deal with, is their relationship to God. I believe that it is given to man once to die, and then the judgment. I believe that whether we live or die, we live or die unto God. So I believe that we will answer for our choices. And we will be judged. I believe that there's one name given under heaven whereby men might be saved, whereby they must be saved, and that is Jesus Christ. That there's salvation in that name. And I believe that it's true that you can call on the name of Jesus Christ. I believe that a repentant spirit, a broken and contrite heart, the Lord will not despise. But the proud and the haughty, I believe God resists. I believe the laws that the Lord established among His people in the Old Testament still have value and still have merit. The dietary laws, the laws of cleanliness and relationships. And I know that we feel so advanced and we feel that times have changed and grown. Times have changed and we have grown as or evolved as people, however you want to put it. To make it plain, we think we've gotten a lot smarter than the people were before. But that is up for debate, because in all of our craftiness and sophistication, we've also lost a lot of wisdom and knowledge. Natural wisdom and natural knowledge. How to survive. And how to be one with creation have been lost in our sophistication. Hallelujah. And because of that, sometimes it's hard for us to see the relevance or the wisdom in the laws that God had established from a long time ago. Sometimes we don't put two and two together. We don't make the association that by us not conforming to those laws or living by those laws, we don't make the association, we don't make the connection that some of the problems, some of the sickness and the troubles that we have today amongst us is because we don't adhere to those laws. Yes, Jesus Christ fulfilled the law in that through faith in Christ we can find mercy at judgment. That in Christ that we have liberty, that we're freed from the law in many ways. But the law is a schoolmaster to show us the righteousness of God and to show us our unrighteousness, to show us our need for salvation, to show us the wisdom and the might of God. But, like I said, I believe it's everyone's choice. Revelations 22:11 through 17 says, "He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. Is God calling us to straighten everybody out? Is God calling us to force somebody into this decision or that decision, or into this way of life or that way of life? Is that our mission? Remember the parable of the wheat and the tares. The servants of the man that owned the field wanted to come and tear up the tares and take them out. That seemed to them like the most sensible thing to do. I mean, there's tares in the field, and let's take them out. But what were they told? The householder said to them, "Leave them alone. Unless when you go to gather them up, you uproot the wheat." Now, sometimes we try to do good and we think we're doing good and we think that we should be doing a thing. But we're doing harm. Sometimes we just need to leave things alone, because God knows. He sees. And just like in the parable of the wheat and the tares, He said He will handle it. He'll gather up the wheat and put it in the barn, and the tares, He'll gather them up and throw them in the fire. He said, leave them alone. Because when you go to pull up the tares, you might also pull up the wheat. God knows that there's an enemy working against Him. But He also knows that the enemy will not prevail, that He will prevail. And maybe He knows something else too. Maybe He knows that some people just aren't going to listen. Maybe He knows that some people just don't care what anyone else thinks. That they just don't care what God thinks. They're more concerned about what they think. And they're so concerned about what they think and what they are going to do that they don't care what God is going to do. They're not thinking about what God is going to do. They don't even believe God, hardly. Because their minds are so much on themselves. Maybe He knows that you're wasting your energy, your time. That actually what's happening is that you're being redirected. And instead of being that vessel of love and of honor that God would have you be, your striving and confusion is growing. And that is a device, a tool of the enemy. That's why the enemy sows the tares in the first place, to cause confusion between what is the wheat and what is the tares. They both look the same. You can't tell. And then when you go to harvest, you have to deal with them and you have to separate them. It all just complicates things and makes things harder. And you go through, you have to work double to pull the tares out from the wheat. And then you start to tear up your field and uproot the wheat. The fact that the tares are there to God doesn't seem to be the problem. It's how you dealing. How are you dealing with the fact that the tares are there? Revelations 22:11-17 says, "He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, and they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. The Lord of heaven and earth. The creator, the sustainer of life, is calling. His arms are open and he's waiting. He's calling to faith. Come taste and see that the Lord is good. Jesus came preaching and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Give your life to Jesus Christ. See that the Lord is good. Try him. You've been listening to Kingdom Concepts. I'm Keith Fields. Thanks for tuning in.